Okay, this is Celestino's story. If Celestino could tell his own story, it would probably go something like this.
Hello, my name is Celestino, and us Mbana people don't go around calling each other by first names. But I know this is for other people to hear, so there you have my name. In 1968, I was living at the headwaters of the Uva River, which is a tributary of the Trau River in the department of Chocó in Colombia, South America. I was sitting there in my tambo, minding my own business, when this white guy walked in and out of nowhere. You see, the headwaters of the Uva River are not connected to any navigable waters. It's not connected to any major trails, but it turned out this white guy, that we later learned to call Lorenzo, had been escorted up over the coastal range to the very headwaters of the Uva River. And whoever took him left him at that point, and he found his own way downstream with his big backpack and found me minding my own business. I say minding my own business, but that doesn't mean I was doing nothing, because my business was as a shaman. Little did I know my life was going to be changed forever, as well as most of the people on the Uva River, because of this visit from this white man. He sat down with me and explained how important it was for me to talk to him. He explained how he had traveled the whole Pacific coast looking for me because he had been told I was the only Mbana person at that time that could speak Spanish. And he explained how he had come for the purpose of recording God's word into the Mbana language. And he needed somebody that spoke Spanish and Mbana to do that translation. He wanted to know if I would help him and work with him on that. Well, I knew the minute I saw Lorenzo that I was supposed to work with him, in spite of the fact that I was a shaman, and I was a powerful shaman at that. I even showed Lorenzo my medicine sticks. I had 11 of them. Every one of those sticks represented one of my primary helper spirits, and Lorenzo was very interested in each of those spirits. He asked me about them, and I showed him the sticks. I showed him the special design that went with the spirit. I sang the songs that went with each of those spirits when I needed to call them. And of course, my major, biggest helper spirit was the Bushmaster Snake, the most feared and the most deadly force in our part of the jungle. And I was famous for being able to heal people that had been bitten by the Bushmaster Snake. And so, in those nights, it's amazing because in the daytime, in the Mbana world, we would spend our time either fishing or hunting, but at night, we would talk. And before we actually got into the translation work, he was asking about all of our ways, and especially about my ways as a shaman. He said he was very interested in that because he had a friend over in the YY people group, clear down in the Amazon basin. There's a shaman down there. His name was Elka, and Elka was also a shaman, and his primary helper spirit was the wild pig. He told me a story about how he accepted God and rejected his spirits, and that was quite agitating to me, and of course, now I know it was agitating to the spirits that were in me. This was not good for those spirits, but this white guy explained that he had come to bring a message of deliverance from bondage to those spirits. And so I agreed to just start the process of translating the word of God. And we spent weeks there translating and recording, and almost every night we talk. We would talk through the night discussing things about God, discussing things about my world that I understood and lived with, and questions that I had about this God, this good God that loved us and sent his only son down to this earth to walk with us, how that all fit together with the spirit world that I knew and understood. We knew about God. In fact, we had incidents in our past when I believed that God appeared. He would come dressed in extremely traditional old clothing, and the one time that I'm thinking of right now, he appeared in a clearing up in the headwaters with a smell that was so beautiful. It was unlike any smell we had ever smelled before. But we knew this had to be a good spirit. So during those days in 1968, we translated what seemed like a very small thing right now. We translated the story of Christ and the creation. We recounted the story about Noah and the big flood. We recounted the story of the birth of Jesus and the death and resurrection of Jesus. We recorded a story about when Jesus was going to come back, the second coming. The story about the sickness of man, the rich man and Lazarus, and Paul and Silas. And less than 25 minutes actually, when we were all done, was translated and recorded. He had this machine that would record my sounds on this slender little tape that would go through the machine, and he would play it back and make sure it was right, and then we'd go on and keep recording. Well, when we got those done, he told me that he had to go, and he promised to come back And when he was going to come back, he said he was going to bring records that were going to be able to hear these stories. Everybody that wanted would be able to have those stories. You see, I was a little bit familiar with the outside world. And in fact, my name Celestino, which means heavenly, had come about because I was raised in a Catholic boarding school. And so I had some knowledge of God and of the commodities of the civilized world. And when I said goodbye to Lorenzo, I told him that he would be welcome back any time. And he left me with a lot to think about. It was over a year later when he got back and arrived with these heavy packs of records and the players to play them. One of the players was a piece of cardboard with a needle on it, and we could take a stick and you could very clearly hear these gospel stories in our own language. And this pleased me at this time because in the year that Lorenzo had been gone, I had decided with my family members to leave my business of witchcraft. In fact, I burned my sticks, and I informed Lorenzo when he got back with the records. I said, "I've burned my sticks, and I no longer depend on my helper spirits." And he said, "You know, the other white people that go to big schools and study cultures are going to think that I told you to burn those sticks." But we never talked about anything like that, did we? I assured him that certainly not, and said, as soon as I decided to follow Jesus, I knew those sticks could not be in my home. But almost immediately after I renounced my helper spirits, my wife was bitten in the garden by a bushmaster snake. I knew this was not an ordinary encounter. This was a direct reprisal for me leaving my helper spirit, and she was bitten very badly. I called the family together, and we talked about what are we going to do. We certainly knew what had been done in the past, and we knew what the old way was, but here we were now following Jesus. Well, we agreed that we would pray and give all this to God. And when we did, she was healed instantly from that bushmaster snake bite. And that is very rare because the bushmaster is very poisonous, as you know. And when word got out that my wife had been healed, not by shaman spirits, but by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ, just about everybody decided that they wanted to follow Jesus on our river. And this really changed things on the Uva River. And of course, Lorenzo was very happy to hear about all this. And he started asking me about the Emaná that were living on the next river, and the next one, and the next river beyond that. And I said, "You know, it's been kind of nice to not be a witch doctor anymore because it's very time consuming. It's a demanding business, traveling and meeting people's needs. And when I'm calling the spirits, managing the spirits, and in controlling those spirits, it's very tiring because those are just not automatic." And so I said, "You know, I've enjoyed this rest from being a shaman. But now I've got time to go, and we'll take these records too, at least one more river, and maybe two rivers more, and leave these records for the people." And so we did that. So we did it mostly by canoe. We made a few portages over from one river to the other boat, and this would have been 1969 or so. We distributed those messages, and we were always asked many questions. And one of the early things what we ran into when we were coming into a new tambo was a question I had for Lorenzo. So I said, "What do we do about the chicha?" Because in our culture, when chicha has been sung, it means that it has been sung over and the spirits have been invited and they've come in to drink from that chicha. And so we talked about it. And he read passages from the book of Romans and Corinthians. And I suggested and agreed that we would not ask any questions about the chicha. The chicha was just a way of welcoming and being cordial when we would first come into a tambo. So I said, if they inform us that the chicha has been sung, then we should not take it, because it might be offensive to them if they found out that we knowingly are drinking sung chicha. So that was our practice, and we traveled and distributed these records. And when I saw the response and interest in the power of God, the person of God, and the love of Jesus, I told Lorenzo, "So you know, you need to come back, and I need you to go to Panama, because we heard there are Christians over there. There are new tribe missionaries that have been there a good while, and they know a lot more about God. You need to go to Panama and ask them to come over and teach us," I told Lorenzo. "If you will agree to go there about a year from now, I will send my oldest son, Prisciliano, with you. And the only way I know that we can get teachers to help us." And so I agreed. I said that that's a long way away, both in time and in distance, but I will try to put things together so we can go to Panama. And so probably 6 months later, Lorenzo came back, but this time he came with a large plywood box that was all painted and had these doors on it that would open. And inside of this one door, he had his recording equipment. He also had a small ham radio that he could actually talk outside on. Actually, he didn't talk. He used a lever that he called a Morse code key that he could send code on, so that people could know where he was and know that how well he was doing, because it was going to be a long journey through the forest into Panama. And also in that box, he had a lot of snake serum. And he informed me that in all his travels in Colombia and Brazil, he had never seen a place with as many snakes as we have. And so that is how it came about that Lorenzo and Prisciliano went to the country of Panama. They actually ran into a converted witch doctor or shaman, and they invited him to come back and teach us. And that eventually led to the shaman coming back. He actually ended up marrying one of my daughters, and he spent the rest of his life traveling among the Embara, preaching the gospel, teaching, and discipling. And that is how it came to be that we knew the gospel and responded to it.
Now, this is Larry again. And a year ago in 2018, I went back. It was a 50-year anniversary of my first entry into the Embara. Of course, Celestino is now gone, but I reunited with Prisciliano. We were both old. We didn't recognize each other, but when I asked him about our trip to Panama, he knew I had to be the one who went with him, because he didn't know of anybody else that could have or would have done that. And today, there are many groups of believers in those jungles that are a direct consequence of Celestino's willingness to translate and record, and then his obedience to getting teaching and leading and building up his people. It's been a collaborative effort between New Tribes Mission. In fact, one of the New Tribes missionaries was a convert of Blaudio, the converted Panama shaman that went to the New Tribes Bible School and returned a missionary with his family to this day. There are now also Assembly of God Colombians that are in the area and helping work with the Embara. But for nearly 50 years, they were on their own because the narco-guerrilla movement moved into those jungles and pretty much forced the Christians out of their tributaries and into the areas near the coast. And that's where they live today. But this story unfolds and goes on. We are looking forward to going with these Embara to yet another river where there's another dialect that still has not been translated after all these years. And so that is a project that we hope to see happen in January of 2020. Hopefully, I will have a couple of new recordists that are ready to initiate to the recording process.